This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
I think the core of Joko's teaching can be found in the line she has us chant, "Each moment, life as it is, the only teacher." And practice centers around our recognition or rejection moment after moment of that teacher, of life's teaching. And for Joko, I think she always emphasized that we do a lot more rejecting than accepting. And that for her practice focused on the way anxiety, anger, or just plain boredom was a sign that we were rejecting the moment. That one way or another we were saying to ourselves, this isn't it. There's an old saying, it's not the early bird that gets the worm, but the bird who knows a worm when he sees one. And I think the same is true of the Dharma. The dilemma is recognizing it when it's in front of us, knowing what to do with it, seeing it as a teaching that's immediate and relevant. I think that when we start off, we are preoccupied with the personality of the human teacher. And Joko was very dismissive of those who wanted to run around to this teacher or that guru, very suspicious of the charisma of enlightenment, as if by attaching ourselves to a special person, something was going to rub off. Because the real problem is that most of the time it doesn't rub off, and in fact it just confirms us in an underlying core belief that he has it and I don't, and that we can feel all right or feel special as long as we're in the presence of or connected to this special person, or this special teaching, or this special place. Then we feel like we've arrived and what we're doing is correct or important, significant. But we then have a great deal of trouble sustaining that on our own or carrying it out into the rest of our lives. We don't know what to do when we're unplugged from the source. So when Joko said that life as it is the teacher, the way she was talking about the kind of feeling that people have when they say that they have a deep faith that God is always with them, She's talking about the sense that the teacher in the teaching is with you, and that your life is the center of meaning or relevance. Right? It's not a matter of where you go, what you do, who you connect with. But you yourself are the center of things. In a way, it can seem very egocentric that the world revolves around you, right? But it's really a sense that life is not happening somewhere else, right? It's not what the important people are doing, you know, around the corner. It's what you're doing and what you're doing with it. See, in a certain sense, another sense, it's a kind of evolution in practice from the specificity to non-specificity of what we think of as a teacher or a teaching. When we start out, it can be very specific. You know, we have so many images in our mind of what a teacher or the teaching is supposed to look like. And almost always it's exotic, and almost always it doesn't look like us. But the maturity of our practice is to that kind of non-specificity where we're able to learn from more and more people, more and more situations, and more things. And to the extent that we do that, again, we become more the center of meaning in our own life. See, but to do that, we really have to become aware of all the ways in which we are rejecting our life as not the real thing, and how convinced we are moment after moment that this is just not interesting enough, significant enough, relevant enough, whatever it is, right? That somehow there's always a better party going on somewhere else, right? I think that as we sit, we just have to watch and experience that moment after moment in relation to our own thoughts and feelings. How easy it is to automatically have a kind of default position that assumes a certain kind of calmness or quiet or contentment is where we're supposed to be, and that everything else that's going in our thoughts and our body is a kind of deviation from that. It's an unwillingness, as Joko would say, to take our bodily tension, our own resistance as the focus of our attention, as the focus of our experience in this particular moment. This is what's happening. It's not the absence of something else. See, as we practice, we may develop more and more of that kind of open-minded acceptance of one state after another following. first this thought, then that feeling, then that itch, then that sound, then this thought. And in a sense, we allow ourselves, or we simply become more and more transparent. We become like the glass door that lets light and sound in. We're not particularly filtering anything. We're not selecting. We're not controlling. We're really just letting ourselves be receptive to what's going on in our bodies and minds, the way we're receptive to the sounds coming in from the outside. It's a kind of absence of resistance to things, right? Now, it's one of the main differentiations between different schools of Buddhism as to whether they consider that open transparency to one state after another to itself be a state that can be cultivated. And I think that there are different schools of practice that have different attitudes to the notion of cultivation of a state. And at one end you have a sense that acceptance is itself a state or a feeling like loving kindness that you extend to your thoughts and feelings as they arise. You extend a feeling of acceptance to each moment, to each thought. With that kind of idea of may I be safe, may I be happy, may I be content in this moment, right? And it's a kind of conscious effort to say yes to things rather than no. I think that practice tends to mature into a kind of wide open acceptance of things. It does, once we say yes over and over again to ourselves, we just let things come and go. We don't have to actively affirm them. I think Joko was pretty clear that for her, acceptance was not a state or a feeling that you added on to anything. For her, acceptance was the absence of something, not the presence of it. It was the absence of that kind of judgment that says, this isn't it, that holds things at arm's length through judgment or anger or anxiety. And acceptance was simply that kind of willingness to feel things moment after moment as they happen. So really for her, there is just the moment's feeling. There's not the feeling plus accepting the feeling. Yeah. And if you'd like to add a little acceptance or loving kindness as a condiment on top of what you're served after a moment, I have no real objection to that. The dilemma is simply whether you get yourself in a place where you think you ought to feel a certain way and then are always falling short of feeling that way. Then you've just compounded the problem or kicked it up a level. For Joko, then, our practice was really nothing at all except presence and our resistance to presence. And then, on top of that, our presence to our resistance, right? That's the sort of the next move. It's not that we are trying to cut out all resistance as if that was possible, but we have to make that resistance itself what we are present to, what we allow ourselves to have. We're not adding the meta-judgment of, oh, I shouldn't feel this, right, to whatever emotional reaction we're having. That too is it. Each moment, life as it is, the only teacher. Will you recognize that teacher when she shows up?